This hour is brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.
Hour 2 Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app, your home smart speaker, and up on TSN 4. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan, Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst here in a moment. I can't confirm or deny what we'll get to a little bit later on this afternoon. Jack Armstrong still to come as well. The Raptors in action tonight in Sacramento. So we'll tee that up with Jack and the 1-6 Raptors. All of a sudden, there's a lot of angst in the city, in part because of the Raptors, you know, 1-6, of course. I mean, that's it's a terrible start. Like, there's no sugarcoating 1-6. You are what the standings tell you you are, and 1-6 is as bad as it gets right now.
Just think about the flip-flop, Hazy. Last year they were like, you know, it's like a 7-1 start. They're one of the and you're coming on here saying this is one of the top teams in the league. So it's the complete opposite, man.
Yeah, it's the complete opposite. Yeah.
These guys are one of the worst teams in the league. That's just a shock to the system of a fan base that have been. They've had a good 5-year run, man.
They've had a great five-year run. And then on top of that, if you're a Raptors and Blue Jay fan, which I think a lot of people are in the city, there's so much panic with Blue Jay fans right now because,
dude, they're not playing here either.
Well, it's not about not playing here. It's that they haven't done anything.
No news.
Like, they haven't done anything.
Has anything come across? And we get emails every day as far as what's going on in sports. When's the last time, you know, Scott Mitchell or somebody that covers the Jays, like, hey, this is what's going on? It's feathers.
The last time there was any news was Vladdy was playing down in the Dominican.
And he had a gun.
And he posted a picture on Instagram with a gun in a holster. That's the gist of the offseason for the Jays.
And he put an emoji face in front of the gun.
Yeah.
That was the last Jays news.
That's it. So, like, with Lindor getting flipped yesterday, it's like everyone is starting to really get concerned. And I understand the concern. I mean, I'm not sitting here pretending like I'm just cool, you know, laying back, all good. Shapiro and Atkins are going to figure this out. Because until it happens, listen, this is a team with a history of missing out on free agents. And I know they signed Ryu last year. That was a great get. Great get. But Springer is still out there. LeMahieu is still out there. Trevor Bauer is still out there. JT Realmuto is still out there. Those are the four big dogs still left. And they have to get one of them. They've talked such a big game. Such a big game. Shapiro and Atkins have been on the record multiple times. We're ready to spend. We're ready to move and shake. We believe we're in on the action. We're having conversations. We're having chats. We're going to get things done. If all four of those land somewhere other than Toronto, they are really going to have a difficult time explaining themselves. Right. Really difficult time. And that's why the Lindor option, I think, was so compelling, was because you could get out in front of it and acquire them via trade. Right? Like, now you had to sign him long term, clearly, and that's coming with the Mets. He's going to sign for $300 million, $350 million, whatever it is, just an outrageous amount of money. But that's the going rate. If you want a top 10 player in baseball, which is what Francisco Lindor is for the most part, you got to pay that price. But something's got to give here at some point. The levee's got to break for the Blue Jays because we're into January. You know, like, pitchers and catchers report in like a month and a half. We think. I mean, who knows?
And these rumblings and rumors were floating around in, like, November. Like, oh, this is going to be something that's out there. So it's like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Now you're talking about 3 months chewing on this. It's like, okay.
They have to sign someone. They have to. You know, they have to. And if you, for whatever reason, you miss out on the four, because it takes two to tango. Maybe the four guys I just mentioned, none of them have any interest in coming up here. Not much you could do, I guess, if you're Shapiro and Atkins. There is a secondary, third, fourth layer of, you know, pitching options to help your rotation. You could really bolster your bullpen if you're willing to spend and get out in front of that. Go for it. You know, if you miss out on those guys, spend and solidify your rotation, your bullpen, find some depth. Something's got to give. And I believe they're going to sign a couple of guys. I mean, it's just a matter of who it's going to be. And we'll find out. I mean, the clock is ticking here.
It also may be they may pull a page out of the Leafs handbook where it's like Sunday at 10 o'clock at
the old
night.
News,
like,
dump.
Oh, yeah, here it is. Like Trevor Bauer, or, you know, who knows? Like,
that would
somebody
be
crazy like that.
Something I think we'd all support. And that's the beauty of an offseason, is until something actually breaks your way, it's just nervous energy, A lot of trepidation, a lot of skepticism, not sure it's going to happen, and then boom, you get one big dog signed, and you're like, wow, what a great offseason.
Right.
Like, it can change that quickly.
Yeah.
Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline here is our TSN hockey analyst, Ray Ferraro. What's happening, Ray?
Looking at all our TSN hockey schedule out and trying to figure out which number of these games I'm doing. And the answer is, I don't know.
Well, you got a lot of time to figure that out. It's opening night in 5 days. So.
I'm sure they'll get around to it. I know I'm not doing anything on the first day.
Right.
Right.
It gets a little gray after that. I got to be honest with you.
Do you get to do the games in my favorite term, Ray, in your underpants at home, or do you got to travel, or what the hell are you doing?
Not sure of this yet, but see, I'm not. You might be the underpants guy. I'm like my red and black Christmas sweatpants things that I've
apparently
always worn.
You like nothing.
Yeah, that was.
I hate to break it to you. Yeah. You're telling us a lie right now.
Yeah,
you like
exactly.
Nothing.
He works out naked.
Yeah, he rides a stationary bike naked.
Yeah, that was a severe lack of judgment there.
That was a one-off,
well,
you're telling us.
And you know what? Like, Gord wouldn't let it go. Did he have, like, a list of top 5 or top 10 things on Twitter of some of the things that you've done on the road?
Hey, I protest the top 10 noodles. I mean, there's only been, like, 6. But there a couple of them, I'm reading them, and I'm like, holy crap, man. Like, I do some stupid things. Like, for somebody that thinks they're organized, or like, you know, I'm really neat and I want every, like, he wrote about one I totally forgot about. We're at the World Championships in Paris, right? They got these unbelievable little cafes, and as we're going for dinner, I'm like, ooh, I'm going to steal a couple of chocolates out of this chocolatier, and I'm going to have them for later. So I put it in my pocket. Well, it was hot, right? It was a hot day, and we're sitting at dinner, and they're like, and Gord's like, what happened to your shirt? I'm like, I don't know. I look down, and the chocolate melted. I'm like, who thinks of that?
Yeah,
like, what a dummy.
Smooth.
What am I doing?
The crazy thing is, you've been living on the road since you were like 15. Like, you have
I should be sharper.
You should be. Like, you've been living away from home and having to sort these things out on your own for a long, long time, traveling a lot, and just can't seem to figure it out.
Maybe being at home's a good thing.
It could be.
You know, like, I can't get lost, really. And so, you know, like, maybe that'll be better for everybody.
There's been some really cool videos of guys calling, you know, NBA games and from home, right?
Yeah.
It's not ideal, of course, but listen, no one's living an ideal lifestyle right now. No.
I heard a great line during baseball, Rick Sutcliffe, the guy, Rick's
awesome.
The color guy, and the play-by-play guy was like, Rick, what do you think of that? And he's like, I don't know. I'm in my basement in San Diego. How the hell am I supposed to see down the third baseline? I mean, both of you guys are going to be calling the games. What is that going to be like? It sucks, doesn't it?
Well, Noodles, you've done games off-tube as well, right?
Yeah, Champions League, and then I've done, I think, one or two NHL games off the tube when Ottawa went to Sweden. Gord and I sat in a booth and just called it off the tube. And, you know, you're at the mercy for camera angles and everything of other people, right? It's not like you're helping your director or your producer with what you want to see. You just, whatever they dial up for you, that's what you see. So it's a little bit tougher, but, you know, it's an adjustment. It's like anything. You have to roll with it.
Well, what I found myself doing is, you know, like, say a defenseman passes the puck and there's a forward coming in and you can see he's going to finish him. And, like, you know, you got a sense that something's happening, but the camera's moved up ice. Mm. I found myself trying to look down the camera or down the television to see if I could get a better angle.
Right as if it would be there for you somehow.
Yeah, like you're going to see it. And you're like, hey, dum-dum, all you can see is, like, what's on the TV. And so that's the way the game's... A lot of them are going to end up being called around the league. And, you know, I talked to a couple of my buddies down in the States, and their broadcast teams aren't traveling this year. They're going to do everything out of studio. And maybe people will look at it and go, no, I don't mind it. But I'm telling you, it won't be as good. Like, you just can't have possibly the same feel. You won't see as much. You won't be able to react to something. Unless by chance the cameras have, you know, get it, but everything's going to have to be shown in a replay, and you're hoping that they have the replay.
Yeah, that's where I was going to say, because there were times where there's something very obvious. Let's go with Toronto. Austin Matthews through the neutral zone makes a great pass, and they end up getting a scoring chance. You think just naturally the replay coming down the pike would be that play, and all of a sudden they'll flash like the coach, and he's chewing on gum, and you've got to talk about that. And instead of getting that play, you're at the mercy of what the cameraman followed. And so would be the biggest challenge, or that will be the biggest challenge, is you have to basically just react on what's in front of you instead of
and
calling for
certain plays.
That's
a challenge for you guys, I think, sure. Where the audience is going to miss out. We've already experienced it with the NBA, where, you know, Matt Devlin's calling Raptors games with Leo and Jack, and they're doing it from a studio here in Toronto. And there was a scenario a couple of games ago where I think Nick Nurse was challenging, or Kyle Lowry was talking to a ref, and I think it was Leo who said, if we were there, we could hear what he's saying right now, and we'd just tell the audience, this is what's going on. We can't do that. And the same thing will apply. Like, when you guys are in between the benches, you can pick up on what the coach is saying, who's pissed, who's really been agitating, who the opposition really is hating on tonight or whatever. Those small details that maybe the average, you know, audience member may not really pay attention to in the moment, but over time they appreciate. Those just are not going to be accessible this year. I mean, that's just the way it works.
One thing I think will be of benefit, like Noodles and I in particular will have comfort with, is we do most of our games one up and one down. So you're already not sitting beside the guy doing play-by-play.
Right.
And so you generally end up with a little bit of a feel as to when they're going to stop talking, when you should stop, so you don't all end up talking at the same time, which sounds horrible.
Yeah.
And so we have a little bit of comfort, I think, with that. But there's just no way it can be the same. But here's the thing. Jamie and I were talking about this a little earlier, but off air, but we as a company too, like, we've got to be proactive, because there is things going to go wonky this year. Like, okay, Dallas is now not playing on the 14th, the 16th, or the 18th. They're not starting until the 19th. Three games have been postponed. Mm-hmm. Like, things are going to happen, and we're all going to have to try and figure out and do the best we can with it.
Right.
And I think that's going to be probably the theme for this season, really. I don't see how it could be any different in March than it's going to be now.
You're so right on so many different levels. Like, we are not only as fans, we just read and react because, oh, that game's canceled. You know, you just basically whatever's in front of you. Behind the scenes, we've got to be proactive to be able to adapt, and just in case something like that happens. And also, you know, the reality of it is we also have to protect ourselves. Because we are going to be going out into public. We are going to be, you know, this is an essential service, I guess you would call it. We're being allowed to do that. So we're going to be going into, you know, a rink that is sanitized and stuff. But if we're staying and traveling, I have to fly. Ray, you have to fly. We're going to be staying in a hotel and getting in an airport and stuff. We have to be very mindful of that. That's the personal side of actually just getting to these games. So, you know, there's a lot of moving parts behind the scenes. And ultimately, my job as an analyst or color commentator is to get there safely and be mindful of what's out there. And we see what's happening in the world.
Now, have you guys talked about the, you know, how strict it's going to be for the players? And, you know, like, they're not flying into a city and going to a restaurant. They're not allowed to do that. It's really, you know, it's really tight as to what they're going to do. Their biggest risk of exposure is not travel, because they're on a private plane and they're around their same guys and all that. The biggest risk is the same as all of us, is just
being
around home.
Right.
Like, you got to go to the grocery store, you got to, you know, whatever you're doing. And so the players themselves are, man, like, it's going to be, you got three games in, say, Ottawa's in Calgary for three games. They're not going anywhere but the hotel and the rink. Like, there's no way around that. And if that was part of the discussion the league had to have with the provincial health organizations to get clearance.
Yeah, that was a big part of it.
Yeah, those guys aren't wandering around. You guys, they're not.
Nope.
Nope, not happening. You know, we're asking everybody else to stay home, and you guys are going to wander around. Not happening.
Wow.
So it's going to be a grind again for them. And you know, you can say, oh yeah, but they get to go out and get to do their thing, and yeah, they're going to work, and it's awesome, and we're going to enjoy it, but it's going to be a lot different.
Question for the guys: Are we going to see? And I don't know if we will or not, but this is just more of an opinion and a question. But, you know, we've seen it in the NFL. We've seen it in the NBA, kind of a couple guys here or there break protocol. Is there going to be a storyline of, player X is at the strip club?
Jamie, it's going to be impossible to monitor everybody. And when you have a wife and you have kids, it's going to be impossible. I know everyone's going to say, okay, guys, when you go home, you got to tell your wife that she can't do this or she can't do that. It's just not everybody's going to do it. As much as you'd like everyone's...
If somebody's stupid enough to go to a strip club, somebody's going to take a picture of them. Like, don't be stupid.
Yeah. By the way, there's no strip clubs open. So
yeah, down in the States, I think it's going to be happening.
I don't know.
But that's what I'm saying. There's still.
I think we'd be naive not to believe that something is going to happen. Of course it is.
Funny you all had that information.
not open at this point. Just based on the drive-by. Every once in a while, you go just checking things out, making sure everyone's okay out there.
Yeah,
but,
I'm
not as available up here. But you'd be naive not to expect that it will happen in the States.
That's what I mean.
Something's going to happen. Someone's going to get caught doing something. And we'll see how the NHL reacts to it. We'll see how the individual teams react to it.
I already know we're going to have photo gate haze.
Probably.
One NHL player is going to be at a club with no mask on and having drinks, and we're going to have to talk about it.
Yeah, probably going to happen. It's happening in the other leagues.
I don't think there's any question. Hey? Mm-hmm. I don't think there's any question. And that player, though, is, you know, I don't know what the repercussions are. Like, so that guy will have to go into quarantine. Right, if it's up here for sure, but just think of that. So I was talking to someone today. So say you have a guy that gets the test positive somehow. So he's got to go into quarantine for 14 days. Then how long does it take to get back your legs that you've just lost for 14 days? Another week, maybe? I don't know. So now that's 3 weeks. The season's only 17 weeks long. Mm-hmm. So one of the factors in this whole thing, I mean, every year we talk about, you got to be lucky to be healthy and all that stuff. COVID is going to play its own health factor in which teams avoid it, which players are able to, you know, look after themselves the best and or be lucky enough to be healthy.
Right.
And they don't lose a pile of games that are going to, lose man games where, a bunch of guys test positive and they're out for 3 weeks.
The ultimate wild card. Wild card this season, and we're going to deal with it. And when it happens, we'll see what the context is, and we'll go from there. We were talking about the special teams yesterday on the show here in Toronto, where they announced that Matthews was going to get some PK time, and today the power play units were unveiled, and Joe Thornton is going to be on the first power play to start the season. This is the ultimate whiteboard where Sheldon Keefe has been moving names around for the better part of 4 or 5 months, and he's figured out what he wants to see. He's going to see it come game one, likely game two, game three, and then beyond that, who knows? We'll see where he takes it. But we've all had a bit of a different reaction to this, because my concern is that they're asking a little bit too much of Joe Thornton already, because he's playing on a first line with Matthews and Marner. Now he's first power play. Like, he's 41. He hasn't played in the NHL in almost a year. I'm a little bit concerned that, the expectations are already too high on what he can bring and what he's going to bring to the team. How do you react to it?
I can't imagine that you're looking at anything more than 14 or 15 minutes for Thornton a game. I just don't know how he could be even possibly effective past that. I just don't know how. So while he's lining up with Matthews, to start at 5-on-5, and he's on this first power play group, the reality is there's going to be shifts in the game where he's not on the ice with them. And it might be at the end of a period. It might be, off a power play, they come back with Matthews' line, but Matthews is with somebody else. Like, I think that's a real possibility. Just think of what happened, when I say what happened. Patrick Marleau, who's an amazing skater, turned 40, and all of a sudden he couldn't get to where he needed to go anymore. Like that, I know Joe's been slower for the last couple of years, the amazing player, passer, and much different player than Marleau, but he's only going to be able to give you what his 41-year-old legs can do. And that's not going to be, that's not 18 or 19 minutes a game. It just isn't.
Ray, do you think a two kind of tier power play system could work? I mean, they got Tavares on the second unit with Nylander and Spezza and whoever it is. Do you think that's possible to kind of, and I don't think the ultimate goal is keeping people happy. It's just, it's that main power. The first one that gets out there, they're the ones that are expected to get the job done.
Yeah, I think it's awesome that you have another option, but, we played on the power play. Mm-hmm. Having two units trying to,
doesn't work.
45, it doesn't work. It doesn't work because just say the first power play unit gets out there. Matthews' group gets out there. They're out there for 35 or 40 seconds. They're zipping it around the zone, and somebody bobbles a puck. It gets shot down the ice. Do you think they're going to want to change?
No kidding. No, well, you remember Babcock? He kept it to a minute and a minute before, and it was just like Matthews and Marner would be buzzing. They'd have a ton of chances, and you're like, okay, leave them on there. No, a minute's up. You got to come off. It just, I don't know. It didn't jive, man. It didn't jive.
You know as well as I do, like that, when you're feeling it, you're not coming off the ice.
No. Two minutes. Like, I'm staying out there for 2 minutes if I can.
And the coach shouldn't want to take you off. Like, if Matthews and Marner are buzzing, why would you put on Spezza and Nylander? You know? Why would you do that?
And that's where the complication is. It's you put them on because, Nylander's a hell of a player.
Of course he is.
And I don't want him sitting around, picking his ear while the other guys are out there the whole time. But how are you going to do it equitably? The answer is you can't. Somebody's going to be, more than anything, the power play leads to, and this is just from my experience, the power play leads to guys getting pissed off. Because when you're not on the first group, you know that you're getting 20 to 30 seconds.
That leads me to think that it's Tavares and Nylander who are going to be not as happy. Because
that's what we got to earlier, right? We transitioned from this conversation right into where Tavares stands in all this, right? Because, which is basically what you just alluded to, where when Tavares got here, they made him feel very comfortable. I think it came with the pitch, and I think it played off beautifully. I mean, he had 47 goals his first year. He was a rock star. And it was, you're playing with Marner, you're playing with Hyman, first power play, everything goes through you, and it worked out beautifully. 2 years later, you're playing with VC and Nylander, and you're on the second power play unit. So how does he respond to this?
Okay, so here's maybe, I mean, it's easy for me to say, 20 years retired. But he's never won. And of course, we don't know what he's thinking, right? He might be all bought into all of this stuff, but and be comfortable with it. But my thought would be, okay, look, I'm making $11 million bucks a year. I've never won. If we win and I'm playing on the second power play unit and I'm playing with, on a second line and my minutes are down a bit, but we win, I really could care less.
Yeah, that doesn't happen in 2021, though. That's just
it probably doesn't, and it maybe wouldn't have happened, if it was us either. Like, we might have said, yeah, okay, I'm making $11 million. Yeah, I'm super pumped about that, but the rest of this stuff sucks.
Ray, I don't know about you, but I was team first. Whatever worked for the team.
Top priority. Always.
Yeah, I was top priority as long as I got on that power play.
Exactly. Yeah, Rudy Rutiger, as long as I'm on the top power play.
As long as it worked, around me.
and the thing was, of course, for us, too, like, and this is something I don't understand quite about today's player, is like, a lot of our money was earned in bonus money. And so if I was going to, if I was making a base salary of $175,000, and I had a bonus of 40 grand to score 30 goals, well, damn, I needed to be on that power play or wasn't
getting it.
Absolutely.
Yep.
So, but now you're getting, we're just using John as an example. He's getting $11 million whether he scores 3 goals or 37.
Right.
And so why do guys still get agitated if they're in a different role. It's probably because of pride. It's pride.
Yep, that's
right. You think you're the big dog, you want to be the big dog.
Mm-hmm. And always have been the big dog.
Well, yeah, you're used to that. You're the guy. You're the reason why they gave somebody $11 million is because you were the most coveted free agent out there. And, you know, you're right. He can accept another role, and John Tavares is a complete pro. You're not going to hear him complain one bit. I just worry that if his production goes down and they don't win the ultimate prize, then you start to look and go, that's $11 million we're paying for that. And, you know, Brian, you made some good points is, you know, you have to factor that in. But do people look at that rationally if they don't win? That's what worries me for them.
It's never rational if they don't win.
Do you think so? No chance.
Yeah,
it's
very irrational.
Concern, again, and this is not to stir anything up. This is just, you know, as I'm thinking about it, like maybe the younger guys are more the concern than a guy like John. You know, like maybe Nylander's more of a concern. Maybe he's doesn't stay as sharp in a game when his power play group is out there every third Tuesday, mm-hmm. right? Like that. Maybe that doesn't, you know, that doesn't work for him. I mean, look, man, the guy's an amazing player and he's got amazing skill. And in most teams, he's with the top guys, and you know, he's not going to be. On that, if that first power play is as you say, but Brian, the other thing is, you may easily find out just as you led off and teed up is that this might be for three games.
Yep.
And it might not work. And maybe this thing with Simmons and Thornton on that power play just doesn't work. And they're like, yeah, you know what? Let's flip this guy for Nylander because man, we know what he can do. And you know, I mean, I think there's going to be something to that too.
It happens with every team every year. By the end of the year, you look back and say, remember day one of camp when this was going on and day one of the season when this guy was playing on that line? Happens every single year, and it will be no different this year. We'll see. It's going to be fun. We're 5 days away, big weekend, football, day in, day out. It's going to be awesome, and enjoy that, buddy. We'll do it again Monday at 5:05.
Yep, Monday at 5. Maybe we'll have. Maybe we'll know where we're headed next week, Noodles. You never know.
Good luck with that, boys.
We will.
I look forward to hearing about all of the details of your potential travel.
You will.
All right, buddy.
Good weekend, boys. Be safe. See ya.
You got it. There he is, Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. The showroom remains open by appointment only, or you can shop and buy online, MapleToyota.com, to receive rates from 0%. Jack Armstrong in about a half an hour. Raptors in Sacramento tonight. Al's brother in about an hour. Slate of games. Six-pack of games. Three tomorrow in the NFL. Three on Sunday. We're Noodles. Tracking the century as well, the golf tournament down in Hawaii.
Noodles, get a coin ready to see who gets the first option for a football pick on Saturday.
All right.
All right, we're going back and forth, and we'll run through it, right? Chronological order. First game, second, third, boom. First, second, third, Sunday. Go time. So we'll get to that moving forward, and I cannot confirm or deny what we'll get up to the rest of the hour. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 4.
I can neither confirm or deny that this is in fact a segment.
Austin trades Andrew Raycroft to Toronto in exchange for the rights to Tuukka Rask.
It's been my honor and a privilege to serve as the general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs Hockey Club.
It's time for confirm or deny.
Do you regret giving all those gentlemen the no trades or no movement clauses?
I can neither confirm or deny that.
I can't confirm or deny.
All right, here we go. I can confirm. We're about to fire up some confirm or deny. It's been a while. It's the first time in the new year we fired up a confirm or deny. So happy New Year's to our boy John Ferguson Jr. We're thinking of you today, as always.
I love your face, Hayes, whenever... Like, whenever he says, like, oop, oop. No,
I can't take it. It's the
you
best
You just start
drive.
Howling.
I can neither confirm or deny that.
That was his move.
It's such a stupid bit and soundbite, but it's right up our alley. We love it.
Yeah.
So here we go. Confirm or deny. A lot of hockey content today, right? We're getting close.
Yeah.
We're going to get close. We're getting to the Raptors in a bit. We're going to touch on the NFL a little bit later on, but let's keep hammering away here, okay? We know how to play. A statement is made. We go around the table. We confirm that it will happen or we deny that it will happen. Confirm or deny numero uno. The Maple Leafs are a lock to finish top 2 in the Canadian division.
No, I'm denying that. You like, there's Calgary's quality, Edmonton's quality, Winnipeg's quality, who knows what Montreal. And in a 56-game season, all it takes is 2 weeks, and you are in a bad spot. I am not confirming that. I like the chances of that happening. But as my main man, Fergie, would say, I just can't confirm or deny.
I'm going to agree with that. Like, I'm going to deny it, not because I don't see it. It's because I think a dose of reality came across my desk today seeing this Dallas and Columbus situation, because I'm going to see how it unfolds. Now, you know, certain players, certain star players have had COVID already, and that's, you know, we know that, mm-hmm. but does it mean that the other team or the rest of the team hasn't, and how it's going to affect? And I'm not going to say that that's going to be the thing. It's just we do not know. I think there's 6 teams that are really good in Canada. I'm going to deny it. I believe they can be top 2, but it.
You guys are hung up on the word lock. I'm sensing the word lock.
Yeah,
lock
is
a concern for you.
If you could see them, lock is the
lock
scary
is
word for me.
A definitive term. Like COVID, yeah. I'm going to treat it like injuries. Could it pop up and throw everything off? Of course it could. So could a broken ankle, a blown out shoulder. You know, like I can't project based on what might or might not happen with COVID and injuries and all that kind of stuff. So I'm going to confirm it. I am going to confirm it, because the more and more I look at where the Leafs are at and what they've had to deal with in the past, they've been chasing that top 2 spot in their division past couple of years. They really haven't been that close. Tampa and Boston have been better, and quite frankly, significantly better. There is not a Boston in this country. There is not a Tampa in this country that they are competing with. And I think that's going to set up well for them. I think they're in a good spot to do some damage. I think they're likely going to win the division. If not, I'm going to say, yeah, I confirm. I think they're going to be top 2 in the division. Confirm or deny continues here. Frederik Andersen will be a top 3 goalie in the division this season. Confirm or deny?
I mean, I can see. Oof. I have him at 4 right now, but
it's got to
be
top 3, you said, though, right?
Top 3 is the confirm or deny. We don't want a John Ferguson Jr. here. We need some
to confirm it. Contract year. He's going to do it European-style contract year.
He knows what's on the line. I'm denying it. I look at Hellebuck Price. I look at Markstrom. I think there's potential for Holtby to have a bounce-back year.
Holtby or Demko.
Or Demko, yep. I think I'm not concerned about an Edmonton goalie in particular passing him. I don't think Matt Murray would, although Murray's capable of having a great year.
That's the thing. Koskinen's stats were – if Koskinen plays 70% of the games in Edmonton, mm-hmm. I mean, he was a top 10 goaltender last year statistically and not far behind in games played. Like, that's the one that – like, because if it's Mike Smith was 52nd in save percentage on goaltenders. But Koskinen was top 10.
Right.
So that's where I'm going to deny it. I think there's a chance he can, because if the Leafs are more committed to defense, that translates to better success for your goaltender. So it's going to be close, but I'm on the cusp.
Okay. Moving on here. Confirm or deny, Quinn Hughes will be the best defenseman in the country this season.
I'll confirm that. I think he's that good. Confirm. It's an easy one for me. Ooh. Who's better in the country?
Define
Shea
best.
Weber,
yeah, I was going to say
right
Shea Weber or Jeff
Morgan
Petrie.
Riley, it could be easy. Like, if Riley plays like he did 2 years ago, he could be the best defenseman in the
define
country.
Define best defenseman. Are you just saying points?
No, it's just like goaltender. It's not. It wasn't best save percentage. It's when all the chips are falling at the end of the year, you say that was the guy who made the biggest impact on his team. That was the best defenseman.
Could be Mark Giordano.
Could be. If the clocks roll back, and he's 37 now. But
yeah, I'm denying it. I think I'm playing the field on that. I think the Canadians have the deepest D and the best, most rounded. And if Shea Weber, he scored 15 goals last year.
Mm-hmm. Like, Weber's got a good chance of being the best defenseman. I don't think, like, Jeff Petrie's really good. I think Quinn Hughes is better, will be better. I like Morgan Riley's got an opportunity, but I don't know if it's going to happen. No one else on the Leaf defense is going to be there with Quinn Hughes. Don't see anyone in Edmonton. Morrissey, I don't see it in Winnipeg. I'm going to confirm it. You know, I'm a big fan of Quinn Hughes. I thought he had a spectacular, he was up for Rookie of the Year. He was right there with Kevin Carr. And I think he just continues with the confidence. I think his role is going to be expanded even more. I think he's going to play a million minutes.
What if a guy like Tyson Berry gets a bunch of power play points?
Yeah, but can you really see him being considered the best in the
country? Not even close.
I don't think that's possible with Tyson Berry. I think we'll get to him momentarily. I think he's got potential to bounce back in terms of his reputation. Best in the country, I think it's a few guys who you can list off. I think Hughes is one. Giordano would be one. Weber's one. Riley's one. But I would go with Quinn Hughes. Moving on here. Confirm or deny, Matthew Tkachuk will hold the title of being the most hated player in Canada by the end of the season. Confirm or deny?
That is a confirm all day long, and I only think it'll take him 2 weeks to get there. He makes one pit stop in every town. He'll be right there if he's not already. That's an easy one. Confirm.
I'm denying it because I think Gallagher could be there. Keep in mind, you're playing Montreal that many times, and he starts acting up. His brother Brady in Ottawa is not shot. Like, Brady's a monster. Like, Brady's bigger than Matthew, and he's not shy to get involved physically. And if you end up playing Ottawa nine times, I think there's other players. What if a guy like Dominic Roussel starts to act up in Vancouver?
Right.
Like, there's a few guys, and what I mean by hated, all it takes is one of these guys to have a bad hit on your star player.
Oh, yeah, like a suspension.
That's what I mean.
Leads to fights or injuries.
Zach Cassian in Edmonton.
Yeah, there's a lot of potential options out there. Yeah. I just think Tkachuk, like, he's already close to that label to begin with.
He's the villain. He's absolutely,
and
the best at being a villain. Absolutely.
He loves it, and he plays so well, right? Like, a guy like Roussel is a hateable guy. He's a fourth-line player.
Correct.
You know, a guy like Brady Tkachuk is not. Brady will play a fair amount. Brandon Gallagher is going to be on your top line, give or take, or top six for sure. But I will confirm it as well. I just think Tkachuk is going to relish. He's an American that will probably love the Canadian division more than anyone else in the country.
No doubt.
He's going to love it. Confirm or deny, McDavid and Draisaitl finish 1 and 2 in points in the division.
I'm going to confirm it.
Guys.
I'm going to confirm it. Why would anything change? They might be even better than ever this year. That's my thoughts on some of these guys. They're going into, although Quinn Hughes is so young, it's only his third year in the league, might be better than ever. Like, just take it to the next level. Why not McDavid and Draisaitl? I think it's a lock. Confirm.
I'll confirm it just based on the last 2 years of production. That's
like, isn't McDavid like 25, 26 now?
No.
He's 23.
23, and Draisaitl's 24. Like, they're...
Yeah.
Like, they're
ballpark. They're
McDavid
in
is the same age as Matthews. It's just that Matthews was a late draft date.
Right. He was a September 17th birthday or whatever.
Anyway, that's kind of the modern-day prime, isn't it?
In their prime. They're absolutely in their prime.
I'm going to confirm it just based on last 2 years' bias.
Well, of course. I mean, the last 2 years, those two have dominated. I'm going to deny it just based on I am curious if Tippett is going to make sure they're split up. Like, it lasted like a period last year. Remember, he came into the year, you're on this line, you're on that line. But like the second period opening night, he's like, forget it, McDavid, Draisaitl, go ahead.
Right.
And it's not that they're like not playing with each other doesn't mean that they're going to drop off drastically, but it might allow Marner to get in there, might allow Pettersson to get in there, maybe Matthews to get in there and just get close enough where they squeak by. I mean, it's.
Or does McDavid ever get the Jonathan Toews speech where it's like, we want 80 points out of you and win a Stanley Cup. We don't care about 120.
That's what I wonder.
You might, but I mean,
still
I
not going to drop off that much.
That's the thing. Did you see Jason Gregor's Twitter today saying, like, Draisaitl had 89 points in 56 games last year. So he was saying, I think McDavid could beat that. He's predicting
so
90
too.
Points in 56 games.
I wouldn't be shocked.
I don't know
of
anybody in Canada –
No one's touching that. The guy I'm looking at is Draisaitl, who had a remarkable year last year, and I fully expect that he's going to continue to be great. McDavid, I think, just keeps going. Draisaitl, I think, like, that's the ceiling for Draisaitl. And if he doubles down on that and you keep rolling out, you're going to have a Hall of Fame career. You're going to be a great, all-time great player. McDavid, I keep looking at thinking, I think he's got, like, 25 more points he can find.
Right.
I don't think Draisaitl finds 25 more points. Like,
nobody.
Everything went in for him. Everything worked for him. He was unbelievable. But McDavid is on a different level. Like, McDavid is a lock top two for me. Lock. I think he's going to probably run away with the point lead. The Drysdale versus the field, I'll look at the field, and it's a stretch, but I'll take the field. We'll come back with some more. We got a bunch of confirmer denies to get to. Got some news out of Sacramento too. According to Josh Lewenberg and others, Kyle Lowry will not play tonight for personal reasons. And it's such a weird era and a weird year where you can't dig into that. You can't know it. You feel uncomfortable even being curious about what that
saying
means.
Saying it.
You hope he's okay. You hope people are okay around him. But you look at Kyrie Irving, who didn't play last night, personal reasons. Didn't fly to Memphis, is my understanding, personal reasons. I've seen some reports that it had to do with what happened at the Capitol building a couple of days ago. I don't know if that's true or not. I don't know what's going on with Kyrie Irving. But now, Kyle's out, and it's not based on injuries or load management. He's just out based on personal reasons tonight. And it's just a massive hit. Lowry not being in the lineup when you're 1-6 and you got to get one tonight in Sacramento is a massive hit. But opens the door, I guess, for Norman Powell to play and perform. Malachi Flynn might play tonight. Terrence Davis might play more tonight. Someone's got to step up. Man. And it's a big development. So we'll catch up with Jack Armstrong in about 20 minutes, and we'll get to our NFL bets leading into the weekend as well. We'll continue with Confirm or Deny. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, Jack Armstrong in about 15 minutes. The Raptors in Sacramento tonight. Kyle Lowry not playing. He is out for personal reasons. We can't tell you more than that, but it's a massive hit to a lineup that is 1-6 and has to get some mojo going tonight. And their leader, their guy, will not be playing. So we'll see what more we can find out, and we'll catch up with Jack in about 15, and we'll get back into the Raptors with him. We were firing up some confirm or deny. We still have a few more, so why not just continue to roll with this party?
Sure. Absolutely.
I think it's going pretty well here, okay? Confirm or deny based on what's going on in the NHL, and specifically the All-Canadian Division. Mitch Marner will be the highest-scoring winger in Canada this year. That is assuming Drysdale is a center, listed as a center.
Deny. Deny.
Yeah.
I'd even put I just got guys ahead of him.
I don't.
Deny.
I confirm it all day long. Confirm it.
Yeah. Blake Wheeler.
Marner's had more the last 2 years based on games per game, points per game. It doesn't mean that Wheeler can't do it. Absolutely, Wheeler could do it. JT Miller had a great year last year. I guess Goudreau could bounce back for sure.
Yeah.
Goudreau could be right there, absolutely. But I will ride with Mitch Marner. I think he's going to have a big year. Big year.
I hope he does.
Rolling shotgun with 34 – he's going to get some cookies.
Yeah, I'm going to deny just based on the field. I think there's just so many wingers. He absolutely could. He could be right in that scenario right there. But, I think you're right. Goudreau, he's due for a bounce back year at 99 points 2 years ago. Yeah.
Wheeler's one, right. There. I don't think there's as many guys as you guys. For whatever reason, you're leading on. There's 20 different –
I never said 20. I'll still take the field when guys like Matthew Tkachuk are out there, Wheeler, Johnny Gaudreau, one of them could just tee off. I just don't see him.
I don't see him decidedly better
and at better odds taking him alone.
Okay. All right.
It's a legit question because he could be absolutely right there. I'm going to play the field, but I'm.
Has he taken over for your new son? Kadri's out and Mitch is in.
No. I look at his numbers. Like last year, he had a quote unquote down year, and I was down on him for a number of different reasons. He still was on pace for 92 points over 82. The last 2 years, he's been averaging over 90 points a year. Those are big numbers. And I think he's still growing. We talk about Drysdale and McDavid being a certain age. Mitch Marner's 23 years old. He could be a 100-point guy. 100% he could be. In my opinion,
he's the same age as those guys. He's right there.
Exactly.
I think he's capable of it. He has to do it, though. That's the thing. Lip service is lip service. You got to go out and do it. Drysdale scored 50 goals. He's got 100 and, bunch of points. He's gotten 2 years in a row over 100 points. If he goes and does that, Mitch Marner does that, then he's absolutely in those conversations.
Right. Well, and we're talking about wingers with this again. We're not talking about centers.
Right. No, but you just said as far as the same age.
No, I know. What I was mentioning was, we're talking about them. They're not even in their prime. Well, Mitch Marner isn't either, is the point. He's not 35 years old, and you're
correct.
Hoping for a breakout season.
Yeah, no.
He's still coming into his prime. Confirm or deny, Patrick Laine will finish top three in goals in the division.
Ooh.
I will deny that before
the
party starts.
I'm going to deny it because I don't even think his head's in
me
it.
Me neither.
Just, like, he's starting off on a team that doesn't want to play. It's just, I that's my only factor in that, is just not in it mentally.
Yeah, I think, and I also, just looking at the stats, I think Matthews, McDavid, Draisaitl will score more goals than him. I think the three of them will. And then, you know, Scheifele's a guy that could score 40.
Kyle Connor.
Connor could score. You know, Pettersson scores at a pretty good clip.
Yeah, you're right. Top three is a bit rich. But I think...
Don't kid yourself. He could, though.
Oh, well, he's got 20, all the talent.
He had 28 last year. He had 28 last year in a shortened season. He can do it.
Yep.
I'm going to confirm it just for the sake of confirming. I think Winnipeg's a really good team. They're a deep team, and he's going to be a trigger guy.
Okay, we got a few more we'll get to in the next hour. Jack Armstrong will join us. The Raptors in action tonight in Sacramento. You can watch it on TSN, hear it on TSN 1050. Kyle Lowry is out for personal reasons. How do they react? How do they pick up a win without him? We'll get to that more with Jack. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.
Alpine Credits.
Yes, it's your English teacher, Mrs. Nelson.
Uh-oh.
You've been using the word approved quite a lot lately.
True, but...
You know there are alternatives like accepted, authorized, confirmed, validated. Let's try. I own my home and would like a loan.
Accepted-ated.
Alpine Credits, where homeowners get endorsed, confirmed, permitted, allowed, okayed, and approved. Some conditions apply. Alpine Credits.
FSRA License 12616.
This hour was brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.